Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. We started our morning off celebrating an upcoming marriage and three new babies that are on the way. It was brought to my attention today that we have another celebration. Today, Mark and Linda Thomas celebrate 51 years of marriage. Would you give them? And part of their legacy sits right over there in that little section. We celebrate you and all that that has brought into this church as well. I love to tell the story. I asked Logan to start off with that song this morning for a few reasons. Today we kick off our series on the book of Ruth. This is the last study of our summer series. We've covered the Ten Commandments, 1 Peter, and for the next 4 weeks we will be studying the book of Ruth. It's a short book, but a very powerful book. But this is also the conclusion of our four-year rotation of the narrative lectionary. So if you've been here from beginning to end, you have gone through a four-year cycle of stories from Genesis up through the New Testament letters for four times, beginning to end. So give yourselves a round of applause if you've been here for that, for all those times and for all those that have. Because whether you realize it or not, that was pretty lame applause, by the way, for a pretty powerful thing. But you've had seeds of knowledge that have been planted that I believe the Spirit will bring to mind at those times when you need it the most. On September 11th, we're going to go back to the Revised Common Lectionary and yet another series of scriptures that will benefit us in a new variety of ways. But for 4 years, we've been focusing on not selections of passages, but stories. I have always loved stories. I love to hear stories. I love to tell stories. When I was a kid, we had a collection of stories that were on record albums. I realize that that dates me. I specifically remember Hansel and Gretel, and the storyteller on that album was just fantastic, and my brother and I would listen to it on repeat over and over and over again. Later in life, I did a lot of babysitting, and one of the reasons I got asked to babysit is because I had four little brothers, and I think people figured if they were all four still alive, I had some kind of a knowledge about caring for kids. But I got asked back to do those jobs because I could tell a really good bedtime story. Ruth is a story of human love that is reflective of God's love. It has themes of emptiness and fullness, famine turning to abundant food, loss that turns into love, bitterness into joy, and barrenness into giving birth. And the character for which the book is named, Ruth, is not a prophet or a king, but only a widow and a foreigner at that. This is the story of God's chesed. Now, those that have been in the Waymaker Bible series know what that is, and even commented in our study of chapter 2 that the author used that word more times than we would have liked to hear. So I had to laugh when I read the commentary for Ruth, and it was brought up again and even more often. And now you're going to hear a sermon where it's going to be pounded out again. You know, God has a way of doing that. When there is knowledge that we need to successfully navigate life, God has a way of bringing it through just a variety of sources and resources. One of the things that our Bible study group identified is that we have head knowledge of God's love. We know all about it, but heart knowledge is a different thing. Receiving that information into the core of our souls is a process. And for many of us, it's a lengthy process. Chesed is a Hebrew word that really has no English word that can sum it up or really give a conclusive description of all that it describes. It entails God's faithfulness. It entails his never-ending love, his unconditional love, his complete love, his unfailing love for all people. The interesting thing about the book of Ruth is God actually never shows up in the story. There are no angels or burning bushes. There's no parting of the sea. There's no ladder that descends from heaven. God's love is revealed as it's lived out in the lives of everyday, ordinary human beings, much like me and you. Let's pray. God, as we hear the story of Ruth today, help us to relate. Spirit, create in us an awareness of our own stories and where we fit into the incredible story of God. May every listener today gain greater awareness of your chesed love. And more than head knowledge, may it soak into our hearts and help us to receive into the core of our spirit, into our very being, into our soul, the important knowledge that we are loved by you and just what kind of love that really is. May the will of God be accomplished in those who hear your word today. Amen. And now we hear chapter 1 of the book of Ruth.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb, that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest.
If you have heard me any at all, you have probably heard me say context is very important in the study of Scripture. So before we dig into that chapter of Ruth 1, let me give you a little bit of a brief background. Ruth follows the book of Judges, where the Israelites wavered back and forth between faithfulness and unfaithfulness to God. God regularly raises up judges, military and political leaders who save Israel from their enemies, but they fall back into mayhem every time. Judges ends with these words: "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and all the people did what was right in their own eyes." So it was a time of chaos and confusion, a time where people had turned their backs on God. And the book of Ruth contrasts the book of Judges, where the people of Israel don't keep the law, by offering this story of a woman who is not a Jew and yet chooses to demonstrate chesed, faithful, loving kindness, unconditional love. She enters into this relationship with God not by heritage or culture or ancestry, but by choice. Love for her mother-in-law is lived out. "Do not press me to leave you or turn my back from following you. Where I go, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." Ruth, a woman, this foreigner, chooses to join her story to the story of God. She chooses the life of a stranger in a foreign land. She chooses to leave behind all that she has known and go to a place that she's never been, with no assurance of security, leaving her dependent on the kindness of others. So what do we have here? Is it a morality tale? Is it an early soap opera? Is it a happily ever after fairy tale? It is a beautiful story, but what's the point? And is it a God story? I hope that you'll be here throughout the course of the next 4 weeks and at the conclusion can make that determination on your own. I will tell you, without giving you a spoiler, there is a really good ending here, and it's probably way bigger than what you can imagine at this point. We're going to look for just a moment at Ruth, because don't we all long to have a Ruth in our life? Someone who will stick by us no matter what, somebody loyal and faithful, kind and caring, somebody who loves us not for what we can offer them, but loves us when we have nothing at all to offer. I like Ruth. I want to be Ruth. This is a story of chesed, steadfast, faithful, unconditional love. There are two main characters that are introduced in chapter one: the one who loves unconditionally, and the other one who deems herself unworthy of that type of love. At various points, we've probably played each of the roles. And for some of us, that kind of love may have never even existed. Not only have we ever never known that kind of love, we really can't even imagine that that actually exists. We're going to take a closer look today at Naomi, because it's not a far stretch whether you can relate, or whether you are a Naomi, or whether you know a Naomi, or whether you don't even really personally have a relationship. It's still not hard to step into the mindset of that character as she responds to Ruth, the character who pushes others away because they've deemed themselves unlovable, unworthy, unacceptable. You all know somebody like that, right? So much so that they're afraid that those characteristics will rub off on the others who surround them, that their bad luck is like some kind of a disease that you might be able to catch. I know that this is the book called Ruth, and I know that her loyalty gives us a glimpse of the heart of God. Her love lets us see and name where we've felt and experienced and perhaps even been able to express that kind of love. But today, just for a few minutes, in this one sermon, I want to ask you, what would it be like to be Naomi? What if you are Naomi? What would that be like when you just need to say, I've been dealt a really bad hand here. This isn't the path that I wanted my life to take. Things could not have turned out any worse. I've lost my husband, and I've lost my sons. I've lost all hope for the future. Why would you even want to be with me? Who would want to be with me? I'm not meant to receive love. I'm not meant for grace and blessing. Maybe there are just people that fall outside those perimeters. I am now worthless. Certainly not worth the loyalty that you're offering or the love. Maybe that's the only place she can be at this point. For Naomi, her future success was totally dependent on being cared for by her husband or her sons. When she lost those things, she lost all hope for her future. And the same story can actually be told in many ways. When your hopes for your future are dependent on your career path or a spouse or everything that you've invested in, everything that you've invested in your children, what happens when you lose those things? Naomi's older, so maybe you can't relate to the exact details of her story, but I know that I've talked to many who have spent their lives building a home, a family, and later in the years in their lives, it seems like those things just start to slip through their hands like sand. First, they lose their driver's license and their ability to drive a car, and then it's followed by having to move out of the home that they lovingly built with their own hands because they can't care for it any longer. Suddenly, kids are so busy with life that they're unable to visit those who gave them life. And everything seemingly that you've worked for and that you've invested in and that you've built is gone or going quickly. And these scenarios aren't specific to a certain age group. I was just talking with a young mother in my office last week who was facing the loss of everything that she worked for. This is what she said to me. I worked so hard for everything that I had, my car, my house, my apartment, my things. And I got messed up in a relationship that cost it all. I've lost it all. I'm back to square one. I'm back to nothing. Devastation is no respecter of persons. Naomi's loss stifled her ability to imagine that there was anything more. It crushed her hope. And for some of you, you have walked or are walking in Naomi's shoes. But Naomi helps us see that there is so much of where we locate our worth, and that is in our expectations of how we expect our story is going to be written, of how we expect things are going to be played out in our plans for our future that don't always line up with God's plans for our future. So much of where we find acceptance is when others deem or determine that, yes, you are acceptable. Too often we determine our worth by what other people say about us, and we construct our identity on the basis of what's expected of us, believing that our worth can be decided by those who think they know us. Naomi puts us face to face with those moments that our heart is immediately shut down by those who tell us how we're supposed to feel. Those times when emptiness is the only thing that you can feel, when you're really truly convinced you're not enough and there's no hope that you ever will be. Naomi gives us a voice to name everything that we've lost that mattered, or everything that we thought mattered, and when we can't figure out how do we make the switch. Naomi gives us permission to name those unbearable minutes and seconds when you sense that who you are or who you were supposed to be is slowly slipping through your fingers. Name when you're being pulled apart and when you see pieces of who you are drifting away. And remind yourself, Naomi is included in the story of God. Naomi, who's able to name her emptiness, her bitterness, and her abandonment instead of pretending like it doesn't exist, because at very least she calls it what it is. This to me does not seem like any pathetic figure, no woe is me, too bad kind of character, because it takes a lot of courage to say, this is putrid. Which is a word that I found that's more appropriate, that more appropriate to way, this just is putrid. It means rotten, morally corrupt. We had to leave home and everything that we knew, but we created this new life here. And then my husband died, and then my sons died. Now what? What do you expect me to do? Rally? Suck it up, find the silver lining or the pot of gold that's at the end of the rainbow. As much as Ruth loves Naomi, as much as Ruth shows her dedication to Naomi, as much as Ruth gives up what her life could be and should be for Naomi, doesn't really make it any easier for Naomi or any more possible for Naomi to see herself as worthy of that kind of chesed. What if today? And if it's not today, more than likely the day will come, is that place in that time when the only thing that you have to say about love is that you don't feel worthy of it. So today, maybe for your sake of tomorrow, just for a few minutes, just for now, just in this sacred and holy space, you can hear God saying, even if it's just a faint whisper in your ear, or a nudge of the Holy Spirit that's prompting you to think, he's talking to me. Don't push that voice away. Do not deem yourself unworthy. Do not think that I don't want to be with you. Hear me, the God of all creation, say to you, to your spirit and to your soul, wherever you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Because you're mine. And who you are and who you have been or who you will be or can be, I love with my whole heart forever and always. Then maybe today, even if it's just for a moment, maybe all of us Naomis out there might hear and know and feel chesed. I love when God gives us all that we need and then adds a little something extra, and that comes in the last verse of chapter 1. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, from the country of Moab at the beginning of the barley harvest. Hope. For the woman who returned empty to be filled as she enters back home at a time of harvest. May this place and this space be your home today. And may you know, wherever you are on the hopeless or hope-filled spectrum, that God is with you in that place. And God loves you with an unfailing, unconditional, steadfast, everlasting love that will never end. Amen.